Good afternoon and Freilich and Chanukah. This is the second day of Chanukah and Tavshin Pei Gimel, Chaf Bav Kislev, December 20th, 2022. Thank you so much, Mr. Jake Wyman, Mr. Mitch Green, and Rav Shmuel and Dr. Ilana Plotzker. We're revisiting something that we introduced about 7 months ago. It's not a rerun, though, because it's from a different text. And that's about being afraid of people. Let's listen to the Aruch HaTzaddikim in Shar HaSimcha. Mi shamamin belokim b'leif shaleh. A person who believes in Hashem wholeheartedly, really believes that Hashem is existing and is involved. Uvatech bo b'vitachon chazak. And trust in Hashem with powerful, strong trust really implements this emunah, puts it into practice. Yavi Oso Habitachon, that trust will bring Shelo Yefached Me Adam, that he will not be afraid from a person, Me Davara, from any evil occurrence happening. He will not be afraid. If there's any time of the year appropriate to discuss fearlessness, it would be right now. Think about the Chashmonoim, talk about fearless. Outnumbered, outmanned, outgunned, and persevered, prevailed. Now, many weeks ago, one of our very worthy listeners asked me a question. It was very objectionable, maybe even ruffled some feathers. The fact that the Gemara said, Chata'at, if you're afraid of circumstances, if you're anxious, then you're doing something wrong. You're sinning. And the person said, you know, until now, when I was listening to all these VOD sessions, I was pacified and I was soothed and I was reassured. But now I feel guilty because now if I'm afraid or anxious, now I feel I'm doing something wrong. I'm a sinner. So it reminded me of a story about pizza. This morning, I went into the teacher's room and lo and behold, I was greeted, and I was the only one in the building. It was very early. Two splendid, beautiful boxes of pizza. And I said to myself, now that is perfect for Chanukah. And then I said to myself, let's see, this was put here yesterday afternoon. And ostensibly, it was not refrigerated in the meantime. So it's great because it's room temperature and it's not cold from the fridge. On the other hand, I wonder if it's okay to eat. So I decided to look into it and lo and behold, discovered that it was inadvisable. Not only could it cause, chas v'shalom, stomach cramps and other ailments similar to that, but it could actually cause food poisoning. If I had not known that, I would want someone to tell me, hey, wait, you're about to eat pizza that was left out overnight. Don't you know that that's not going to be good for you? I would not appreciate it if someone said to me, you just don't need to eat that pizza. You don't really need to eat that pizza, do you? I would say, yes, I do, because I love pizza. I kind of need to eat it right now. That wouldn't be adequate. I would prefer that someone would say to me, no, stop, don't eat it, because it's going to give you food poisoning, chas v'shalom. It's not going to be good for your body. And it occurred to me, this is an analogy to where the Torah says, lo sira mehem, lo sira mehem. We learned it in the first vod, I believe. In May, when we go out on the battlefield, and the Chafetz Chaim writes in the Machne Yisrael, and he brings us the Pasuk by the Meshuach Melchama in Parsha Shoftim, Lo Sira Mehem, you're not allowed to be afraid for people. It's not that you don't need to be. That's not good enough, because if someone says you don't need to be afraid, don't be afraid of people, because you don't need to. But I can't help it. No, you're not allowed to be. Now you might say, oh, to resist a slice of pizza, that's not a problem at all. I'll just resist it. That takes a second. But to learn to not be afraid of people, that's not easy. That's very much a huge task. Yes, that's true, but it could be a life's work. But the Ribbono Shel Olam tells us, just like pizza that sat overnight is not good for your body, it's not good for your neshama to be afraid of people. So don't do it. Please, don't eat the pizza. Don't be afraid of people. It's not enough to say you don't need to be afraid of people. It has to be a lo sase. You might tell me this is only on the battlefield. We already went through that and brought the Rishonim who said that it's not just on the battlefield. It's in general. The Rabbeinu Yonah says similar thing, that it's being afraid of people in general. Lo sirah mehem. The Nevi'im were told this. Don't be afraid of Klal Yisrael. You're not allowed to be afraid of people, of Jews, non-Jews, circumstances. What we need to do, Hashem tells us, I love you. I want the best for you. Hashem is generous and he's benevolent and he's compassionate. And therefore, it's not enough to say you don't need to be afraid. It's if you're afraid, if you're anxious, you're doing something wrong. Now you might say, but now I feel guilty because sometimes I'm afraid and anxious. Okay, let's put the guilt aside. Let's not dwell on that. Let's talk about Mikan Ve'elech. From this second and on, I will continue to work on myself and to build up my courage to go through life without fear. So that perhaps could answer, we're not talking about feeling guilty because I've slipped and I have so much work to do. I have such challenges. I'm anxious by nature. I was born worried. I was born frantic. I was born in a panic. I was crying when I was born. Oh, I guess all the babies do that. Maybe they're a little anxious. They have a whole life ahead of them. I wonder what's going to be. A little intimidating, isn't it? The point is, Hashem tells us what's good for us. And he says, don't be afraid of people. Just take precautions when necessary. So that's what it means, lo sirah mehem. And the Aruch HaTzaddikim says, lo yafached me'adam. The person will not be afraid of anybody, me'adav ara. And I decided to take the moment to think, which people am I afraid of? Am I afraid of people's emotions, people's reactions, people's lack of reaction, people's lack of enthusiasm? Lo yafached me'adam, me'adav ara. I am not going to be afraid. I will work on it. And if I'm afraid one time, I'll work on it next time to try to not be afraid. The Aruch HaTzaddikim continues. A person shouldn't worship or serve anybody besides Hashem, to become pleasing to that person. What does it mean? I will not flatter. We know that the Torah says, Lo sachnifu esa aretz in Parshas Maaseh. You're not allowed to, one translation is, to commit flattery. What is flattery? That means to condone or to endorse things that are wrong, averos, in order to be in good standing with somebody else. But that's a lack of bitachon. I have to trust in the Ribono Shel Olam. So if someone starts telling me Lashon Hara, what does my Yetzer Hara tell me? Oh, wait, you better not object or stop them because then they might not want to be your friend, or maybe they'll be upset at you, or maybe they'll think you're a nerd, whatever it is. So the Aruch HaTzaddikim tells us, no, that's kind of like serving a person in order to be pleasing to the person. But I'm not supposed to do that. If I have full bitachon in Hashem, so I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, I'm not going to hurt people's feelings, I'll do the best I can. But I'm not allowed to prioritize a human being, a bust of a dam, a flesh and blood, over Hashem. So I have a choice. Do I demonstrate and live my avas Hashem, or do I demonstrate and live and act out my love for people? Well, you can do both usually because one is part of the other one. But what if they come into conflict? What if showing my love for the person is going to violate my love for Hashem? If I show the speaker of Lashon Hara that I agree and that I love everything going on here, that is lo sachnifu es ha'aretz. That is called chanufa. The Gemara says, kat chanefim. People who are in that class they have something to work on. So it says, Lo yava lo adam zulaso. I should never find myself serving, worshiping, working for someone besides for Hashem, any human being, the sratso say love, to become pleasing to that person. I'm doing it to please the person. Now, to be a people pleaser is, of course, fine and wonderful within the parameters of halacha and hashkafa. I want to be a good employee to my boss and to my constituents and to my customers and to my associates and to my partners. That's all part of Benaram L'Chavero. That's interpersonal relationships. That's what's called the Olam Te Daito Sha'adam Me'o Revesim Habrios, that a person needs to be interacting with society in a positive way, but not to cross the line and to try to flatter or to be pleasing to somebody if that person is not doing the Ratzon Hashem properly, like listening to Lashon Hara, letting it happen, letting things happen that are wrong. Lo yakave le'ish, the Aruch HaTzaddikim says. A person should not wait for someone else. Now, what is that supposed to mean? By the way, this might sound familiar to you because it's the paraphrase of the Navi. It's in the Haftorah that we say on one Shabbos where it says, Asher lo yakave le'ish, lo yachel livnei adam, that B'nai Yisrael, as a nation, trust only in Hashem. Do not wait for a person. Now, what does that mean, don't wait for a person? What do you mean? If I order an Uber, I got to wait, stand there, what's going on? If I told someone I'm going to meet him somewhere, I should there wait for him. No? So what does the Or HaTzaddikim mean? Don't be waiting and expecting. You see the word yakaveh? It's a lashon of tikva. Don't hope toward a person. But wait a minute. Now I should burst the bubble of my faith in people's abilities? Is that what he's telling us? I shouldn't put too much into it. Because if I hope toward people that people are going to save me, even my closest relatives, if I over-depend on people, then that will not be an asset to my bitachon, because I'm shifting my focus to human beings, as close to me as they are. It could be the ones whom I love the most, that they love me the most. So let's continue to do that. I always tell people, you want to love people, then don't expect too much from them. Lower your expectations, and then you won't be disappointed, and then we won't resent people when they disappoint us, because human beings disappoint other human beings, because that's what it means to be a human being. We're not perfect. We cannot help that. So as a result, the Or HaTzaddikim says, Lo yikavel ish, my tikva, my hope, my anticipation, my waiting shouldn't be so invested in people, because then I'm not trusting in Hashem fully. Lo yaskin imahen. And again, he's telling us what bitachon will lead us to. This state of being where we have yishuv das, we have a relative settled mind, compared to how it could be otherwise without bitachon. Lo yaskin imahen. One should not agree with anybody, with people, b'davrashu keneged avodas habora yisparach, in anything which is against the service of Hashem. Again, it has to do with people-pleasing and flattering and wanting to fit in. I am not supposed to fall to the trap of winning a popularity contest. I heard that statement from Rabbi Moshe Miller Shlita, who wrote a Sefer on Rusk. He was a Rosh Kollel, he taught in Michlala, and was the principal of Torah Day School in Atlanta. So he once told all the Rebbeim and the Moros, he said, don't fall into the trap of trying to win a popularity contest. So what does that mean? Of course I'm supposed to do what Hashem wants. And it says, V'rtzos Hashem darchei ish, gam oivav yashlim ito. The pasuk says, when Hashem is pleased with the person's actions, then Hashem, by the way, it's singular, Oyvav, his enemies of that person, Yashlim, Hashem will make the enemies of that person to reconcile with him. In other words, I just need to do what's right. If doing what's right, of course, includes positive interpersonal relationships and smiling at people and being warm and doing chesed and being compassionate, that's all part of it. But my goal is not supposed to be that I should be popular. My goal is supposed to be that I'm doing the right thing. I know it's bothering you. It's a Mishnah in Avos. Ko sheruach habrios noche emenu, ruach hamok noche emenu. If people like me, if the spirit of people is pleasant and positive with me, then Hashem likes me, correct? So don't I need to be popular with people in order for Hashem to like me? Yeah, but let's think about it for a minute. Obviously, I'm not violating halacha to achieve that popularity in Hashem's court. It's through doing what Hashem wants. And when I go ahead and I keep the mitzvahs of the Torah, I'm careful with Shmiras Lashon. I'm careful to do chesed. I'm careful with all the ben adam lachavero, not to bear a grudge, not to take revenge, not to harbor animosity toward people and hatred toward people. When I do all that, so then that causes, usually, of course, every rule has exceptions, for the most part, ruach habrios noche emenu. Then I will have a very positive interaction and experience with people, and then Hashem is going to like me also. But sometimes people don't do what's correct, and I have pressure to join them or to fit in. So the Or HaTzaddikim says, if my bitachon is totally steadfast, if it's hard and firm like a rock, I will not budge in order to go and agree with people with things that are against Torah. Of course, one of the most popular ones, close to my heart, it was the Shmiras HaLashon. And I'm doing this whole Musar thing is for myself, because one of the hardest things I have in life is to object somehow when someone is saying Lashon Hara, at least offend the person they're talking about, or not just allow it to happen. That's very, very common. But the Or HaTzaddikim says, you know where that problem is rooted? It's not rooted in, oh, I'm not keeping the halacha right. I need to learn the halacha to keep it right. Certainly that helps. And that's very important and fundamental. But it has to do with bitachon. Am I really trusting in Hashem? If I really place my trust in Hashem, I will not be worried about people's reactions if I will gently turn the conversation away from Lashon Hara, let's say. And maybe they might detect it. They might, that that's what I'm doing. But I'm not going to be worried, because that's called anxiety, and that's not bitachon. If people try to influence me to do something that's against Torah, or that's not good for me, or not good for others, and it's tempting to go along with it, no, I will not agree with them. Lo yaskim imahem, the Aruch HaTzaddikim says, Alashon of Haskama, I will not endorse it, and I won't go along with it. Belo yachiduhu in yonam, back to the fear. And their matters and their circumstances will not frighten him. So I have to take a good look at myself and say, am I afraid? Am I frightened now from anything? Am I frightened? Am I worried about people right now? Am I worried about what's going to happen? Am I anxious? If I am, then I have work ahead of me. If it happens every day, I have work every day to work on myself. This is what we're here for. It's a source of simcha that we have the opportunity to work on ourselves. Lo yachidu in yonam. All of their matters, all their circumstances, their interactions, their encounters are not supposed to frighten the person. Lo yachidu. Remember we talked about pachad and yira. There's different types of fear. Yira has a lashon of re'iya. It's from what I see, like on the battlefield. Pachad has to do with what I concoct in my mind, what I imagine. Oh no, what if the test comes out this way from the doctor? What if the person reacts this way? What if I don't succeed in it? All those what ifs, what's going to happen? All the fantasizing, it's a Yetzirah that makes me afraid. So if I have bitachon, this is so beautiful and comforting. It gives me such a warm feeling. Lo yachidu in yonam. Then people's interactions will not frighten the person. And he will not be afraid from their dispute. Now, what's that all about? Their machlokas? What's that about? Yes, once in a while, again, same vein, we have to stand up for what's right. It could be in a very casual, minor interaction with a friend, or it could be something more major. But whatever it is, we shouldn't be afraid from their machlokas. That someone, what if the person doesn't agree with me? I shouldn't be afraid of that. If I'm doing what's right, I have nothing to be afraid of. Sometimes, maybe once in a while, we need to perhaps correct something that someone's doing. The Gemara already says it's a Mishnah, and Sota says, right before Mashiach comes, Ein Tochacha, the art of giving rebuke, reprimanding people, it's a kind of lost art, because, as the Gemara says, if I criticize someone, even in a very positive, constructive, affectionate way, that person will say back, yeah, but you're criticizing me about this. What about this and this and this that you do? So you should really work on yourself before you start telling me what to do. It's not so easy to give tochacha, and it's a whole shir by itself, more than one shir. You know, the pasuk says, al tochach leit penis no'eka. We have a pasuk that says, don't rebuke a leit, a person who will deflect what you tell him, someone who's a scoffer, because he might hate you. I just want to talk about tochacha for a minute, because the Aruch HaTzaddikim is telling us that a person who gives tochacha should not be concerned, shouldn't be worried about the other person's dignity. But we do have to be cognizant of the fact that not always is tochacha the best thing to do. It's a whole set of halachos. But I want to tell you something that happened in yeshiva. In yeshiva, when I was in Rabbi Wein's yeshiva, there was a sefer floating around called Aspeklaria HaMe'ira. That sefer was written by the Choza Me'Lublin. You know what a Choza is? A seer. There was a great tzaddik, and he was such a big tzaddik, they called him the Choza. The Choza is a word almost used like a Navi. Obviously, he wasn't literally a Navi. So it calls the Choza Me'Lublin, wrote a sefer called Aspeklari HaMe'ira. We know what that term means, hopefully. So in there, he asked the question, and he says, I don't understand. Why did the pasuk say, "Al tochach leit penis no'eka"? Don't rebuke a leit, a person who will not take it seriously, who will deflect it, who will laugh it off. Penis no'eka, lest he will hate you. The Choza Me'Lublin says, so what if he hates me? Since when do I get absolved, exempted from a mitzvah in the Torah, because someone might hate me? What if someone will hate me for putting on tefillin because they think it's obnoxious? So what? I'm going to put on tefillin anyway. There's a mitzvah in the Torah. The mitzvah says, You're supposed to give tochacha. You're supposed to rebuke people. Since when do I care that person might hate me if I do a mitzvah of the Torah, so I shouldn't do it? So the Chozen Meleblin answers. He says, yeah. Every mitzvah has its own set of regulations and circumstances and variables and variances, you don't mind me using that terminology. He says, if I give tochacha to somebody, I rebuke somebody, and that person will hate me for it, so I'm told in the pasuk not to rebuke them because they will never, ever listen to me about anything if they hate me for what I do right now, this mitzvah of tochacha. Maybe there'll be a chance that later on something will change, but if they develop this animosity and enmity toward me because I rebuke them at the wrong time, this is not the time that they will be able to be receptive to what I told them. So then don't do it. Because if he hates you, then you might have lost him forever. So that means that tochacha is a delicate mitzvah to fulfill. And this is not what this shir is about. This is a vad. It's a workshop for bitachon. But the Orach HaTzaddikim, even though he says, v'im yochiach chosam, and if a person will rebuke someone else, lo yizor b'chvodim, he should not be careful about that person's honor. He shouldn't worry about it because he needs to give the tochacha. We have to be careful when we apply this. But the bottom line is, for example, it's easily understood with someone who I am very close with, and sometimes the person might be slightly taken aback if I correct him or correct her, but it might be the right thing to do. V'im yachlinem lo yevosh mehem. And if the person will, again, it's a lashon of embarrassing by giving them tochacha, he shouldn't be ashamed from them. In other words, if I give tochacha to somebody, I rebuke that person. If I really have bitachon, I'm not going to worry about the quote-unquote collateral damage that now the person feels hurt. But I want to explain something to you. As we said before, we have to be very careful in the applicability of this. But I'll tell you another story. Years ago, I want to tell you how I'm grateful that I got tochacha, and I wonder how you'd react. Years ago, there was a person who used to come to town to Cincinnati periodically. And I was davening in what they called the Big K.I. on Section Road, Knesset Israel Shul. Originally, Rabbi Silver, that's all, was the Rav there. Then Rabbi Lustig. So I was davening for the Amid. And this guest was in town. And I'll tell you a story about tochacha, how this person exemplified Lo yizahir b'chvodam, that he was not being careful in someone's dignity. That was my dignity, meaning he wasn't caring about it in the face of the need to give tochacha. But that was a positive thing, and that's what the Orach HaTzaddikim is saying. That I want to show you this and listen to this demonstration, this example, so you'll know that it's possible in some cases to do it. So I davened for the Amid. I happened to be davening for the Amid in Knesset Israel. When I came down back to my seat, so here's this guest, a distinguished man, a Talmud Chacham, he says to me, oh, that was a nice davening, I appreciate it, but I want to tell you something. So he said, when you say Hashem's name, you know the name of Hashem that has three syllables. It's the Adnus name. It begins with Ado. He said to me, you are saying the middle syllable with a kamat instead of a cholam. Allow me to explain. He said, it's a common mistake, and the post can talk about it. You're not saying Ado. No, you're not saying that. You're saying Adah. And then the last syllable, which is the noi I was doing. At least I got the first and the third one right. But the middle one I was doing wrong. He said it's a kamat. You're saying it's a kamat. You have to say it as a cholam. It's supposed to be Ado, a O sound in the middle, not a aw in the middle, like Adah. That's wrong. So, of course, being a very sensitive person, my reaction in the beginning was, huh? I don't think I'm doing that wrong. I don't think I'm making that mistake. That's what he said, you really are. You're really making that mistake. So I kind of chewed it up, digested it, reflected, like, why should it be such a big deal, right? No, it was a big deal because you know how many times I said Hashem's name until then? And is he telling me I'm saying it wrong the whole time? But you know what? I said to myself, he's right. But not only is he right, he had the courage to tell me that I'm doing it wrong. He left town. I wrote him a thank you note. I got his address. I wrote him a thank you note. I said, you know what, Rabbi so-and-so, thank you so much for correcting me. Because after 120 years, I'll be able to say, I'm pronouncing your name right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is the man who told me. He came back to town a while later, and he said, I want you to know something. I got your thank you note. It's the only time I got a thank you note, because people usually always say, no, I'm doing it right. This is what he told me. I'm just telling you the story. He said, people always say they're doing it right. It's not because people are, whatever, something's bad about it. It's very, very hard for a person to swallow that I'm doing this wrong so many times. So what does this story teach me? First of all, I'm always very careful to say that middle syllable with the cholam. But he was an example of what it says in the Orach HaTzaddikim, Im yochiach osam. If a person will give rebuke to people, he won't be careful about their honor. He wasn't caring about my honor. Because you know what? Hashem's honor is more important. This is bitachon. This was about bitachon. I met one like that. And if he will, again, a lesson of embarrassing them. That was embarrassing to me. Yeah, it was in private between him and me. That also could be embarrassing. But he should not be ashamed of the one he rebukes, from those people whom he rebukes. By the way, he said, I have an advantage, though. This man, this rabbi who was the guest, he said, I have an advantage. I come to town and then I disappear. I leave. So that's why I can just give my tachah and be out of here. You know, you might be, you know, it's not so easy for you because people have to see you every day. So I understand your hands are a little tight. It's harder to do. The truth is, though, that this is a person whom I have a lot of gratitude for, toward him because of what he did, and he set me right. The Orach HaTzaddikim says, we're supposed to not be so worried. If we're able to pull off these types of things, we're supposed to do them if we know how to do them the right way. But we do have to remember that it does say, Lo sisa olav ches. When you give tochacha, you should not do it at the expense of the other person becoming really embarrassed. As it says, the Chazal say, Yachol, afil panav mishtanos. When you reprimand somebody, let's say you do it in private. That's the way to do it. There's a whole talent. There's a whole way to do it. Don't bear sin because of him when you give the tochacha. Yachol, a person might think, afilo panav mishtanos, even if his face turns colors, you give him tochacha to the point that he feels mortified, terribly embarrassed. It could happen even one-on-one. Then no, it says, lo sisa olav chet. When you give the tochacha, don't bear sin because of that person, because giving the tochacha, you cause them such anguish. So how does one do this? How do you pull off such a feat of tochacha? It needs hadracha, guidance, it needs practice, it needs study, but the Orach HaTzaddikim tells us this is an inyan of bitachon, that you're able to do such a thing. So my goals are very high. At least, even if I can't do what that person did, I can appreciate what he did, and I accept what he did. But if I'm ever going to give the tochacha, I better know how to do it the right way. But if I do it, I'm not supposed to be worried because I'm doing it for the sake of Hashem. Sometimes we can direct people. And I do want to mention one reason that I heard from my Rebbein to go into chinuch, because we can give tochacha lo b'shas ma'aseh. We can learn about hilchos lashon hara, not while the person is saying lashon hara to correct the person. We can learn the laws, and then they know the halachos. And I'm going to end with a story that a father told me at a parent-teacher conference. He said, I want you to know something. You're learning Hilchos Lashon Hara with my daughter. We do that in ninth grade. He said, you're becoming a Rebbe for my whole family. Because you know why? Because at the table, when I start saying Lashon Hara, this is the father, or someone starts saying Lashon Hara, so my daughter's like, no, we can't be doing that. That's Lashon Hara. We're learning about that now in school. So it's much easier to preempt the problem by learning the halachos, teaching the halachos, doing a Kiddush Hashem, being Marbit Torah as much as we can. So today we talked about the inyan of bitachon. And what does bitachon do to a person? The Orach HaTzaddikim says it creates a serenity, a peace of mind, and it creates confidence in a person that I'm able to do Hashem's mitzvot without being ashamed. Maybe even give tochacha, at least give tochacha to myself or to the ones closest to me, if I know how to do it the right way. And it also causes me to not be anxious, to not be apprehensive, to not be living in fear, but to be freed from the fear, to be emancipated, to be released from that anxiety. When we're released from it, we can really enjoy a Yom Tov like Hanukkah, because we can recognize that Hashem is always doing this for us every second of our existence. Thank you so much for joining us, and a Freilich and Chanukah.